Thank you for taking the time to listen to this CD. You may hear some things that challenge your thinking, challenge your understanding of the Scripture, but also encourage you and edify you. In Acts chapter 17, the Scripture speaks of the noble Bereans who received the Word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures to see if those things were so. My prayer today is that your nobleness and hunger for God will be stimulated through this Free Food for the Soul CD. Now, let's have some free food for the soul. We're going to talk about understanding speaking in tongues. A lot of people have a problem understanding what the Bible is talking about when it tells us in the second chapter of Acts that they were in one place and one accord, one place, when suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, which is Acts chapter 2, the first four verses. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives them the utterance. And we're going to look into this into three sections. Number one, what is speaking in tongues? Number two, why did God choose tongues? And number three, isn't tongues one of the nine gifts of the Spirit? And sometimes people have a little bit of difficulty understanding the difference between the gift of tongues and receiving the Holy Ghost evidenced by speaking with other tongues. So we're going to look into the born-again experience first, which is found in John chapter 3, and we're going to look at the first, not the first five, eight verses, but verses 5 through 8. And it says, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And a lot of times we see or we hear people say, I've been born again, and they really have no clue what they're talking about. Because Jesus said it was going to be a new birth. And a new birth implies that there's going to be some change. As a matter of fact, the Scripture says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. When we come to the Lord, there should be a change. There should be a difference. People should notice the difference. You should notice the difference. And sometimes it's gradual. Sometimes it's a big difference we see. Nobody sees that much, but you'll find a new pathway and a new life. But he did say that this new birth would be a birth of the water and a birth of the Spirit, a new birth. Now, let me say this, that when you were born, and I'm assuming that none of us are test tube babies, we all were born of a mother. We are born of the water. We break the amniotic fluid, and that's part of the birth process. The second part of the birth process, you ever see the pictures of the doctor slapping the baby on the rear end and the baby cries? The baby that is born without a spirit is a stillborn infant. That's a dead infant. So the new birth includes both birth of the water and birth of the Spirit. Well, we're not going to talk about the water part tonight, I don't think, but let me just suffice to tell you that's water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And the Holy Ghost is what we're going to talk about, the birth of the Spirit, what happens when a person is born again of the Spirit. In the seventh verse, he said, don't marvel that I say to you, you've got to be born again. And the eighth verse tells us something very interesting. He said, the wind blows where it wants to blow. Can anybody stop the wind? But how do you know the wind is blowing? You feel it. And what else do you know when the wind is blowing? You hear a noise. You hear the sound of the wind. And he said, so are some of those that are born of the Spirit. So are all of those. Number one, you're going to feel the wind blowing. In other words, you're going to feel the presence of God. And number two, there's going to be a sound that accompanies your being born of the Spirit. And we read about this, and we need to make an emphasis here, that when you seek God to fill you with the Holy Ghost, you're not seeking to speak in tongues. That's not what you're looking for. And I use the scripture, they were all in one accord, in one mind. They had one purpose, that they were going to receive the promise of the Father. They had no clue what speaking in tongues was until it all happened. But you're not looking to speak in tongues. You're looking for God to fill you with His Spirit. The emphasis is not on speaking in tongues. The emphasis is receiving the promise of the Father. And while we're not seeking to speak in tongues, we are seeking to receive, as I said, that promise of the Father to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When we say Spirit, baptism of the Spirit, baptism of the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's all the same thing. It's nothing different. The Bible says there's one Spirit. It's one Lord, one God, one Father, above all, through all, and in you all. That Spirit of the Father fills you with His Spirit. The Holy Ghost is basically the portion of the Spirit of God that we receive as a believer. We do not receive the Spirit of God. The Scripture teaches us we do not receive the Spirit of God without measure. If I had the Holy Ghost without measure, then I could go and do whatever I wanted to. Jesus had that Spirit without measure. You don't find one prayer that Jesus prayed that didn't come to pass. Sometimes you'll find stuff we pray don't come to pass because we don't have the power of the Lord. We operate, the way we operate is by the inspiration of the Spirit. I don't control what God does. I can't go to the hospital and say, okay, West Wing, you're all healed, and they rise up. That's not within my capability. Of course, if God told me I could do that, then I guess I could do that. Let's look at Acts chapter 10, verses 45 and 46. It says, those of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles. How did they know? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So in our studies of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we find the Bible teaches three principal ways in which tongues are manifested. Number one, as the initial evidence of a person receiving the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know if I cover this in this Bible study or not. This is Bible study that I have written, and I've taught it before. It's nothing new to us, but I just felt it would be appropriate for tonight. And it's the scripture I'm looking for is not in there, but let me talk to you about the 8th chapter of Acts, and maybe we could look there. Let me get my Bible, and we'll do it the old-fashioned way. We won't use the PowerPoint for this portion, but we're going to use the old-fashioned reading of the Word of God here. Now, a lot of times I have my scriptures already printed out here, so I don't have to waste time going ahead and looking for things. But Acts chapter 8 talks about a revival that took place. Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord, Acts chapter 8, starting at the 5th verse, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles in which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many that were taken with palsies and were lame were healed. There was great joy in the city. And let's go down to the 12th verse. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Let's skip down to the 14th verse. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now what I want to point out here is the scripture said, with these people, and some people look at this differently, and they lack a little bit of understanding, and they say, well, when I believed, I automatically received the Holy Ghost. Or when I am baptized, I automatically receive the Spirit. Or I know I got the Holy Ghost because I got joy. Or I know I got the Holy Ghost because I got baptized, or the devil got cast out of me, or I believed, or I whatever the case is. But you can read in the scriptures that we just read, and you can look at them later on, Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 17, I think it was, that they had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They had joy. They were baptized. They got healed. They got demons cast out of them. And probably a couple of other things, which they had faith. But not one of these people had received the Holy Ghost. That's according to the Word of God. So the 8th chapter of Acts is what I title the signs that you haven't received the Holy Ghost. And sometimes I said, some people say they struggle with the issue of the Holy Ghost, that speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of a person receiving the Holy Ghost. Scripturally, that's the only outward evidence that we have. Now, number two, the Holy Ghost, the speaking in tongues can also be used as one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit in the church. And number three, you'll find in the scripture, it talks about speaking in tongues in the believer's personal devotion to God, his prayer time, and so on and so forth. So next slide, Psalms 45 and verse 1. The Spirit is likened to the pen of a skillful poet. In Proverbs 18 and 21, we're told that the tongue can kill or nourish life. Okay, not the Spirit in verses 45, but the tongue. How many of you have had somebody say something to you that almost killed you? Of course. We can build up folks. We can tear down folks with this thing, the tongue. You can just say something nasty to somebody, or you can encourage them. The tongue will build you up, or the tongue will tear you down. Psalms 52 and verse 2, it likens the tongue to a sharp razor. Proverbs 15 and 4, we're told that the tongue can crush the spirit. How many of you have had that happen in your life? Somebody told you something and it just really hurt you very badly, crushed your spirit. That's what the tongue can do. And Acts 2 and 4 tells us they were all filled with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Let's kind of look at it in the 21st century vernacular here. I don't know how well you can see that, but it's kind of like a computer connected to the server by the internet. Kind of like what happens. You're connecting to a higher power. What I get on my computer when I get on the internet is not on my computer. What I get on the computer comes from a server. I do a lot of work with databases and financial stuff for the district and for our church also. And all that stuff is not on my computer. Now, I could put it on my computer, but it's not there. I can come to the church. I can work in my office. I can work at home. I could work in South Jersey. I could work in Florida. I could work in France. It all coming from that central server. That's kind of like people receiving the Holy Ghost. It's not coming from them. They've got to get that connection to God. I'll never forget there was an old German lady that we knew some years ago, and her name was Gertrude Hansy, and she used to say, I love to lift up my hands. The Bible says for us to lift up our hands in worship. She says, when I lift up my hands in worship, I get better reception. It feels like my antennas are up. And when we approach God, we reach out for the Lord. There is a response that comes from heaven. You know that. You know that when you've prayed, you've felt God. Maybe not at first because of lack of faith or unbelief or whatever the case is, but you know that you felt God. So let's go to look at the next slide here, and let's look at Romans 8 and 26. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groans and words that cannot express. Sometimes you'll see people praying, man, they'll be acting really weird. They'll be speaking in tongues, they'll groan, they'll they'll be just kind of pressing on. You say, what in the world is going on? That's the Spirit working through someone. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for. The Scripture teaches us that the Holy Ghost will pray through us. If you've received the Holy Ghost previously, the Holy Ghost will pray through us to help us. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 20, it tells us to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The Bible does not teach that you should not pray in tongues. It does not teach that you should not pray in the Spirit. That's man's teaching. Man says all that stuff has passed away, but God hasn't put that in the Word of God. Nothing's passed away that was from the New Testament yet. One day it will be passed away, but right now it's not going to pass away. Now it talks about the groaning. And the groaning, let me show you something from my study Bible. Talks about kind of being straits, to sigh, to pray inaudibly, have grief, to groan, to grudge, to sigh. You ever feel like that? Oh, God. That's what it's kind of talking about there. Let's go to the next scripture, talking about speaking in tongues and praying. It says, if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. Well, then, what shall we do? You say, well, you expected me to believe that God would make you speak and tell. It's not that when you receive the Holy Ghost, he gives you another language. I'm going to tell you a very interesting, very true story. And my wife, we've known each other now for 33 years. We'll be married 33 years. We knew each other, let's see, it's May 15th. Actually, sweetheart, we probably met each other about 33 years ago, a couple of days ago. Because I received the Holy Ghost on May 15th. 2 weeks later, she came back. So it was probably like last Sunday, 33 years ago, that my wife and I met. And I've known her a long time. I've heard her pray, heard her speak in tongues. And we were off somewhere. And we were at a conference. I believe it was General Conference in Florida. The United Pentecostal Church has a great conference where they draw together ministers and people from all over the United States. And I began to hear somebody praying and speaking in tongues. And I said, well, there's my wife, because it's just a very distinctive sound. So I turned around, and it was a short, extremely heavy-set black lady. And I'm just like, what? You would have, if you had heard that, you would have said, there's Sister E. But that's not what's happened. It, you know, nowhere close to my wife. She was a different race, different color. And let me tell you something about colors. Men have a problem with race and colors. God doesn't have any problem with that. So when I say, you know, she was a short black lady that was very heavy set, God loves everybody. Amen. The divisions that we have between fat and skinny, pretty and ugly, or pretty ugly, black and white and green and blue and purple, that's all man's division. That's not God's divisions. And that really showed me something. And of course, that was just very, very special to me that God did that. So he said, if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, and I don't understand what I'm saying. Well, then, what am I going to do? I'm going to do both. I'm going to pray in the spirit. I'm going to pray in words I understand. I will sing in the spirit, and I will sing in the words I understand. Sometimes you'll see me praying for people. I might pray in tongues. I might pray with my understanding. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So this is what the scripture is talking about with that. Let's go on to the next scripture. The Apostle Paul said, I'm glad that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Hallelujah. And let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:39. In the Amplified Version, it says, so to conclude, my brethren, earnestly desire and set your hearts on prophesying, on being inspired to preach and to teach and interpret God's will and purpose, and do not forbid. Do not forbid, do not hinder speaking in an unknown tongue. We do have people today that do that. They tell you tongues are passed. You're not going to speak in tongues. Tell you what, go over there and start speaking in tongues in the church. They'll throw you out. But the Bible says forbid not to speak in tongues. Amen. And there is an order and so on and so forth there. But God still pours out his spirit today. Let's look at the next scripture in the New Living Translation, 1 Corinthians 14:39. Three things then to sum this up. If you speak forth God's truth, speak your heart out. Don't let people Don't tell people how they should or shouldn't pray. And when they're praying in tongues, don't tell them, don't do that. Let them. They're going to pray in tongues. Go ahead and let them. Don't hinder it. Don't stop the work of God from happening. And, of course, so many do today. But that's not the will of God. The will of God is that we should allow the Spirit to move in our life. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14:22, New King James Version. And therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to show those who believe, but to the unbelievers. Now, isn't that interesting? You know, when you hear some people, they hear people speak in tongues and they say, you know, them people are nuts. Yet God said speaking in tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. So that's why we don't, somebody starts speaking in tongues and worship's going on, we don't really worry about it. They might get freaked out. But it's a sign, the scripture says it's a sign from the Lord. Amen? People need to get a jolt. I remember the first time I came into a Pentecostal church. Now, you got to understand this. This is a Bronx boy. I grew up in New York City. Never heard of speaking in tongues. Never heard of the Holy Ghost. None of that. I came to church. The building was a little bit smaller than this. Had about 100 people. And I began to see them worship and to lift up the Lord. But I did like it. I was like, man, this is what I've been looking for my whole life. I was 22 years old, didn't have a lot of experience. Except at 22, you think, you know, you have all the experience in the world. Now I'm 55, and I don't think I got that much experience. But when I was 22, I thought I knew everything. Then I ran into this. But there is one thing I did right. I said, I love it. And I remember that night, I started lifting up my hands, praising the Lord after church or at the altar call. I went to the altar. I began to pray. God delivered me from all the sins that were in my life, drugs and alcohol and all the rest of that stuff. So God is real. Amen. The Holy Ghost is real. And he says, prophesying is not for the unbelievers, for those who believe. When we talk about preaching and we talk about things that are going to come to pass, it's not for the unbelievers, the scripture says. Now, here's a good question. Why in the world did God choose something weird like speaking in tongues, you know? And really, if you think about it, if God chose something different, he might choose something else weird. People still do the same thing. That's just the way people are. In the Old Testament, they saw miracles and they still stood against the Lord. So people, if they want to deny God, they can deny God. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 13 and 14. We got to understand one thing. God is not accountable to us. We do not direct God. We don't tell God, hey, God, you know, I think it would be a little bit more socially acceptable, you know, forget about all this praising stuff, you know, forget about the speaking in tongues stuff. What does the scripture say? It says, who then, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Isaiah 40, verses 13 and 14. Or who is his counselor and has taught him? With whom did he take counsel? And who instructed him and taught him the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Which is where I get a lot of what I say is that God is allowed to do things because he's God. And he does things that only God can do. I didn't teach him. You didn't teach him. There's no politician, no great professor. He taught all the great professors. Well, so the ones that'll listen at least. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me get my glasses here. Next slide. Let's ask some other questions. Why did God choose blood for the basis of the atonement? Why did God choose water as the element of baptism? Why did God choose gold as the overlaying metal for the Ark of the Covenant? Why did God choose stone as the material upon to record the Ten Commandments? Why did God choose Jerusalem as the city, the site for the temple and the city of God? Why did God choose dust out of which to form mankind? We could ask a lot of those questions. You know, blood, that's pretty nasty. There's a lot of churches that are going away to bloodless songs. They don't want to sing about power in the blood. They don't want to talk about the blood of Jesus that cleanses their sins. That's too bloody. That's too bloody. So they get away from that. But the bottom line is, perhaps one vital reason why God chose speaking in tongues is that speaking in tongues is an immediate external evidence. Now, look at the next scripture here. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, how long does it take to get? Well, you've got peace and love and joy and long-suffering. Do you get that the first day you get the Holy Ghost? No. You become like Kaylee, a baby in Christ. She's got to learn. She's got to grow. She's got to develop. So it is with us. Speaking in tongues is just an immediate evidence that God has taken control of the most unruly member of the body, which I believe we're going to go into here in a minute. But it takes time to grow an oak tree. And I've said that to people. You know, they say they're frustrated with themselves. I tell them weeds grow up overnight, oak trees. And weeds, when the weeds grow, you know what happens when the winter comes? They're dead. But when the oak tree grows, what happens when the wintertime comes? It's going to be around for springtime. The weeds aren't. They're out. They're done. Amen? Now, let's look at the next scripture, Acts chapter 10, verses 43 and 46. We kind of read this a little bit before, but it says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believes in him would receive remission of sins. Of course, he's talking about baptism. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon those that heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Why? Because the gift of the Holy Ghost had been poured out upon the Gentiles. How did they know? For they heard them have love. They said devils got cast out. They had joy. They got baptized. No. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. You may not understand what's happening when you're speaking in tongues, but much of that speaking in tongues is magnifying God. We've had stories of missionaries many times that have gone overseas. And I remember one missionary story, especially. He was in a place nobody spoke English. And this lady was just praising God, like you, just magnifying the Lord, lifting up God. So he said, finally, somebody that speaks English. And he went over and talked to her. And, you know, kind of after things calmed down and the Spirit of the Lord lifted. Guess what? She didn't speak a word of English. That was her unknown tongue, was speaking in tongues. So there's a lot of interesting things that do happen. Let's look at the next recollection of what's happening there. I was just going to find that phone and answer it. That would be fun. Hi, I'm preaching here. Do you mind listening for a little while? Acts chapter 11. Now, what's happening here, the Gentiles had received the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know if you understand this or not, but when Peter got up on the day of Pentecost, he told them, repent and be baptized, name of Jesus Christ, remission of your sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promises to your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He didn't believe what he was preaching, because they were only Jews in the church then. Now, in Acts chapter 10 and verse 48, they had gone to those that were afar off, or the Gentiles. So when he went and they received the Holy Ghost, what happened was the headquarters church in Jerusalem, the elders in the church there, they got upset because now all of a sudden these Gentiles got the Holy Ghost. That's not possible. They're not chosen by God. So he had to go back there and explain. And this is his explanation to the elders at Jerusalem. And he told them how he had seen an angel standing at his house that said, send men to Joppa, and you can read through Acts chapter 10 on your own later on, but and saying to him, send men to Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will teach you words by which you and all your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as on us at the beginning. Notice that. As on us at the beginning. Then I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. So we find the account, Acts chapter 10 and verse 46. I hope you are enjoying today's message from God's Word from Free Food for the Soul. Free Food for the Soul is a ministry of the North Jersey United Pentecostal Church. We are located at 51 Center Avenue in Secaucus, New Jersey, one block from Town Hall. Our phone number is 201-832-1955. Our website is www.njupc.org. Now, let's get back to the remainder of today's message from Free Food for the Soul. For they heard them speak with tongues, magnify God. We go to Acts 11:15, where it says the Holy Ghost fell upon them just like we got it. They got the Holy Ghost just like we got it. They were excited. And he went back to the elders of Jerusalem and explained it's the same gift. It's the same thing. That's why we talk about, we say the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues is the evidence of you receiving the Holy Ghost, is speaking in tongues. It's because that's what they said. That was our evidence. It wasn't the love. It wasn't the joy. It wasn't the long-suffering. It wasn't the baptism. It wasn't praising God. It wasn't hanging from chandeliers. It was speaking in tongues. So speaking in tongues is an outward, external evidence which is instantly observable and heard. And by contrast, peace, joy, righteousness, and other spiritual fruits are inside, internal results of the infilling that become evident with the passing of time. We catch that part, with the passing of time. And speaking in tongues is just something very, very instantaneous that happens. Though both tongues as the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost and later as a spiritual gift are the same in essence, they are different in administration and operation. So people have understanding. They say, well, you know, the Bible talks about the nine gifts of the Spirit. One of those gifts is tongues. Well, how can you say that the evidence of tongues is the same as the gift of the Spirit? And they kind of lose the understanding right there. Some folks do, at least, because they don't see the difference. Well, we're going to try to explain the difference, because I understand the difference. Now, would you agree with me that to be saved, everybody has to have faith? Right. We can read the scriptures, John 3:16, Romans 10 and 9, Ephesians 2 and 8. We all talk about faith. Got to have faith. Yet, in 1 Corinthians 12 and 9, it tells us that there's a special supernatural gift of faith that can operate in a spirit-filled person's life over and over again beyond the same faith that's necessary for salvation. So saving faith and the spiritual gift of faith are the same in essence. Are you catching that? We're catching that. They're the same in essence, but different in administration and operation. Now, the interesting thing is I'm recording this tonight, and when we pass out our CDs, this is going out in our next batch of CDs, because a lot of people don't understand what speaking in tongues. They don't understand the gifts of the Spirit. They don't understand the evidence of speaking in tongues. So this is going to go way beyond what we're doing here tonight. So Jesus emphasized the uniformity of the experience in the scripture we read earlier. So is everybody. You can point to somebody and tell them, when you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to talk in tongues. Well, speaking in other tongues, talking tongues, same thing. Because that's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said. He said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And then, of course, people get upset. They say, well, I'm a second-class citizen because I haven't received the Holy Ghost. That's not the thing at all, because where I haven't spoken tongues, which goes back to what I said at the very first thing. You're not looking to speak in tongues. You're looking to receive the Holy Ghost. You're looking for the promise of the Father. That's just a natural result. And so many times people concentrate and they say, well, I got to speak in tongues. I got to speak in tongues. It just ain't going to happen. It's because they're looking for the wrong thing. They're looking for the evidence, not the God of the evidence. They're hungering after the supernatural, not the God of the supernatural. As the deer, my daughter sang that tonight. As the deer panteth after the water, so my soul panteth after. You got to get that inside of you, that I'm hungry for God. I'm hungry for the things of God. Forget about speaking in tongues. Forget about everything else. Just get hungry for God. And there's some things that are just going to happen naturally. Because the wind is going to blow where it wants. It might even blow open the door at your house. Who knows what God's going to do? I've seen some very interesting things happen in my life. Known of some. But just be responsive to the Holy Ghost. Be responsive to the Spirit of God. Let Him fill you with the Holy Ghost. Just let God just pour out whatever He wants to pour out upon you. Amen? So he emphasized the accompanying sound, not on sight, not on feeling. The sound of the wind blowing is the evidence of the presence of the wind. Amen? You can hear the wind outside. I think you're going to hear the wind pretty good tonight or starting tomorrow. We've got the remainder of a hurricane coming up from Florida. We're going to have a bunch of rain. You're going to hear the wind all right, and you're going to hear the sound of the wind. That's the way it works. When the Spirit of God blows into your life, there's going to be some wind that's going to happen. Let it happen. Jesus said in John 7, 37 through 39, he says, at the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, out of the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And when I remembered very distinctly when I received the Holy Ghost, it was like, not like I was going to throw up, but it was like something was coming up and out. And I just let it out, and I just started moving my lips, because you got to take a part of it. He's not going to control that thing. You're going to let Him control that thing. And that's the whole key to living for God, letting God deal with you, letting God change you. You still got to go work. You still got to do this. You still got to do that. You still got to talk. But you let God direct you. Now, that's the same thing with receiving the Holy Ghost. You're just going to let God take that control of that mouth, take control of that tongue, and it's going to come up. It's going to come out, and you're not going to understand what's happened. You're going to feel the peace. You're going to feel maybe the wind. You're going to feel the joy. Then you know you got the Holy Ghost when you're speaking in tongues. That's according to the Scripture now, the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost. Now, the Scripture says in James chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on the fire by hell. How many times have you heard of politicians that caused all kinds of problems because they said something bad? Sure. Happens in every country. People start wars because of what some politician said. They had a big thing, I don't know if you remember, if you're old enough to remember, but when Ronald Reagan was president, he was just kind of joking around, and he said, okay, now we're going to press the button and drop the bombs on Russia or something like that. My word, he was just kidding, but he almost started a war with that. That tongue can cause all kinds of problems. You just go say something nasty to your boss, and you watch what happens. All of a sudden, your boss is not going to want to deal with you too much because he don't like it when somebody comes up and talks nasty to him or her, whatever the case is. James chapter 3 and verse 4, he also compares the tongue to the helm of a very large ship, which gives the pilot full control of the vessel. Look also on the ship, it says. Although they are large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Or Matthew 12 and 29, how can one enter into the strong man's house and plunder his good unless he first binds the strong man and plunders his house? He says, well, does that have to do with that? Because that's talking about the devil. You're talking about praying against a strong man. You use that tongue for prayer. You use that tongue to proclaim the things of God. Amen. You can proclaim evil with the tongue. You can proclaim good. You just look at what happens in our society. Look at what happens with these stars and all kinds of crazy stuff. They proclaim evil. They proclaim faithlessness in God. They proclaim all kinds of stuff. But you can also use that tongue for good, that God can help you. God can change you. God can bless you. God can turn things around in your life. You see what I'm saying there? That's one of the reasons he chose the tongue. The tongue is the gateway to the heart. feelings and attitude and spirit. Praise God. Now, let's talk about the difference between the Holy Ghost and the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to show you some of the Greek definitions here. The word for gift, as in the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 4, is the Greek dureia, which comes from doron, which implies to us a sacrifice. The reason people, everybody can receive the Holy Ghost is because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. That's the gift. That's what he gives us. He died on that cross to give us a new life, to allow us to be born again. That's the doron. That's the ability to receive that. Now let's talk about the gift of the Spirit. And the gift of the Spirit, the word gift there is charisma, which means a divine gratuity. And it talks about a spiritual endowment, a miraculous facility. Here's what people don't understand, that you can't have a gift of the Spirit unless you've received the Holy Ghost. Just like you have faith and you have the gift of faith. Every man, the Bible says, has a measure of faith. But only some have that supernatural gift of faith. It's the same thing with the gift of the Spirit. It's not our gift of tongues. It's not talking about a separate experience in that sense. It's talking about an endowment that God that gives you above faith. He gives you miraculous faith. It's an endowment that's above regular speaking in tongues. It's a miraculous. And you'll find that the Bible talks about interpretation of tongues. Those tongues that God gives in the gifts of the Spirit is for the edification and the building up of the church. It's not talking about you get the Holy Ghost one way, I get the Holy Ghost another way. That's a total misunderstanding of the Scripture. Now, 1 Corinthians... Nope, I've got myself mixed up in my own notes here. So just give me a second here. Oh, I'm not mixed up. I'm right where I am. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12 and 9 reveals that there is a special supernatural gift of faith that can operate in the Spirit-filled person's life over and beyond. And that gift of faith falls under the charisma, the spiritual endowment, which is above and beyond the normal realm of faith. And so it is with speaking in tongues as the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues as the miraculous ability to deliver a message directly from the Spirit, directly from the... God can speak to the church through speaking in tongues, the gift of tongues. Not talking about when you receive the Holy Ghost, but when you have that gift of tongues, the Lord can do that. I've seen it many times. Sometimes people are afraid to be used by the gifts of the Spirit. I remember one time in particular, it's been quite a few years ago, there was a lady that had been away from God for many years. She had been what we call backslid for many years. And speaking in tongues came forth in the church and the interpretation came forth. And I saw that woman come to the altar and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. Amen. God can do that. He can give a message, and I still remember the message. It was something like, I haven't left you, you're the one that's left me, but if you'll come back to me now, I'll fill you with the Spirit. And she came and got the Holy Ghost that night. It was very, very moving, very spectacular what happened there. Now, let's go on with this understanding. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? He's not talking about receiving the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. He's talking here about miraculously receiving that gift of tongues, just like you would have faith in the gift of faith. And people don't understand that. They don't understand he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And in order, as I said, to have the gifts of the Spirit, you have to have received the Spirit. And the only way that you have evidence that you've received the Holy Ghost, as we read by all those scriptures, is that they will speak with tongues. According to the Scripture. And as we said here again, you're not seeking speaking in tongues. You're seeking the Holy Ghost. You're seeking for God to fill you with His Spirit. That's just going to be a natural occurrence. Going back to the sound that accompanies the birth of every believer, Jesus let us know, just as that baby I talked about earlier was born, there's going to be a sound at the baby's cry at birth. I don't know if you've ever attended the birth of children, but they come out silent, and all of a sudden, they're making some noise. There's a noise that accompanies the birth of every child. Right? I've been through three myself. I don't really go, you know, sometimes we'll go to people, you know, help them and they're having childbirth, but I'm not going in there. I'm just, 3 was enough for me. I remember when my wife was having all our children, the doctor said, you want to watch? I was like, no, what are you, nuts? I know some guys like it, but, you know, it's just not me. But I do know in a distance, I was not there, I mean, watching everything, but I was on the other side of the curtain and stuff, but there was a sound, I promise you. When that baby was born, when Becky was born, there was a sound. Hallelujah. And just like there's going to be a sound when the child is born, there's going to be a sound that accompanies every person that is born of the Spirit. Just like that newborn who cries, and the cry becomes a sign to all that are present that the breath of life has entered into the newborn child. That sound he spoke of is the sign that the breath of the Spirit has entered into your life. Are you catching this? Amen. It's a sign that that Spirit, that new life, has come into you. That's why he chose speaking in tongues. We read the scripture, or we quoted the scripture here, and on a day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord in one place when suddenly, and I love when that happens, Brother Rick, suddenly the power of God begins to move. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, which never appeared again. And it sat upon each of them. That never happened again. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's the one thing from the day of Pentecost that happened over and over and over again. You never see the wind coming again like that. You don't see the cloven tongue sitting on people's heads, but you do see evidence in the Scripture that they spoke with other tongues. Praise the Lord. Now, Acts chapter 10, and we read this already. Let's just read it again. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Acts chapter 19, verses 5 through 6. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen. And just for a moment, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you might have gone down in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You might have been baptized when you're a baby. But you, first of all, a baby cannot repent. Second of all, Father's not a name, Son's not a name, Holy Ghost is not a name, the name is Jesus. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you need to get baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins, and then the promise of the Holy Ghost is yours. Praise God. So if my wife can make her way out, please, if you can hear me back there, I would appreciate it. But it says that Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So when you hear the sound of it, you hear yourself or others speak with tongues. You hear the sound of the wind. You hear yourself or you hear others speaking with tongues. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it came from. Because the person speaks with tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, not as, you know, I remember one guy says, I spoke in tongues tonight. I think I spoke in French. You have absolutely no clue because that's the Spirit of the Lord. Then he went and said, I told him, I got the Holy Ghost. He said, that's possible for you. I was pretty mean 22-year-old. Nobody believed me when I got the Holy Ghost. It was great. I mean, I didn't think it was great back then, but they didn't believe me. Yet 33 years later, the fruit is there. The fruit grows after the Spirit comes. Amen. You don't know where it's going. You don't understand what's being said. It may sound like nonsense to the unbeliever, but so does Chinese to those who can't understand the language. Praise the Lord. Big question today is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? That's what Paul asked the disciples of John the Baptist. Praise God. Maybe my wife would come up, and let's all stand tonight. You know, even in a small crowd like this, you can receive the Holy Ghost. You don't have to get baptized to get the Holy Ghost. If some reason you can't receive the Holy Ghost, when you're baptized, you've got the promise. Amen? But you need to warm up just a little bit right now. Let's sing that old chorus. It says, it's for me, it's for you, it's for your children, it's our children too. Let's all just come on, gather around the front, and let's just ask God to pour out.
It's for you. It's for your children and their children too. It's something
like nothing else can do. In Acts, the second chapter, you can read it for yourself. You don't have to ask anybody else about the Holy Ghost that Jesus has given away. It's for me, it's for you, it's for your children and their children too. It's something like nothing else can do. In Acts, the second chapter, you can read it for yourself. You don't have to ask anybody else about the Holy Ghost that Jesus has given away. Well, it's for me, it's for you, for your children and their children too. It's something like nothing else can do. In Acts, the second chapter, you can read it for yourself. You don't have to ask anybody else about the Holy Ghost that Jesus has given away. Well, I've got the Holy Ghost.
What must I do to be saved?
Well, before I get into the direct answer, I'm going to assume you believe the Bible.
Right.
If somebody doesn't believe the Bible, I start with experience.
Totally different issue.
Well, all of us are sinners, and therefore all of us are separated from God by our sin. And we see that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Romans 6, 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Romans 1, 16 says, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So the way that we're saved is through the gospel of Jesus Christ and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what I need to add from the outset is, in the scriptural sense, and certainly when you're talking about salvation, believing is more than mental understanding, mental agreement, or verbal profession. It actually includes obedience to what you profess. And we see this in Romans. Romans 1:5 speaks of the obedience of faith. So the very book and the very inspired author who speaks perhaps more than any other about salvation by faith tells us what kind of faith he's talking about. It's faith that produces obedience. Faith and obedience are two sides of the same coin. You cannot separate one from the other. If you truly believe God, you'll believe His Word. If you truly believe His Word, you'll act upon His Word. If I yell out, the building is on fire, if you really believe that, you're not going to just sit there and tell me, oh, thank you for that bit of information. I acknowledge it and I profess it. No, you're going to act on it. You're going to run out of the building. And if you do, we could say that I saved you. Or we could say that you're saved because you believe me. Or we could say you're saved because you acted on what you believe. And that's why Romans 6:17, Paul says that you used to be the slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the doctrine that was delivered you. So the same author that says you're saved by believing the gospel also says you're saved by obeying the doctrine. Those are not two different things. It's right. The same thing. Now, let me fast forward. On the day of Pentecost, the 120 received this wonderful experience. Peter preached to them, to the thousands of believers that gathered. And he preached, if you study it, he preached simply the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in Acts 2. That is the gospel according to 1 Corinthians 15. The gospel is that Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again to provide victory. So we must believe that gospel, or as I've just explained, we must somehow obey that gospel. Believe it to the point that we act upon it, we apply it to our lives. How do we do that? We find the answer in Acts 2. Peter preached the simple message that Jesus died, but His body did not decay in the tomb. He was raised on the third day. And then the people cried out, what shall we do? And He said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2:38. When we repent, we're dying to the old life. We identify with Christ's death. When we're baptized in Jesus' name, it's a burial with Christ. And then when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's the resurrection of life of Christ. So when we believe the gospel, we will obey the gospel, and we receive the experience that Peter commanded in Acts chapter 2.
So when we believe with our heart and confess with our mouth, as is commonly expressed, or
yes,
is expressed in some settings, it's it's more than just I believe
right.
in it being a mental assent, but it's a behavior, it's action taken.
Yes. In Acts, in Romans 10, which you're referring to, if you read that context, Paul was explaining why the Jewish people as a whole are not saved. And he said it's because they've not believed the message of Christ. And then so he explains the basis of salvation, you've got to believe in Jesus Christ and confess Him. Now, he wasn't explaining to a sinner what to do at the altar. He was writing to the church explaining why aren't the Jews receiving the promises of God? Because their foundation is off. They won't confess Christ. Now, if they will confess Jesus and believe that He rose from the dead, then they could be saved. But of course, his audience knows, well, if you confess Jesus as Lord, that means you're obeying Him as your Lord. If you believe that He was raised from the dead, that means you'll receive the Spirit of the resurrected Christ. So he didn't have to fill in the blanks for his audience. They had already experienced that.
He was writing to the church.
Yes, and he was explaining the foundation. You've got to get your foundation right, and that's faith in Jesus Christ. And of course, we don't deny, we need to emphasize, salvation is by the grace of God. That means it's a gift of God. We receive it through faith in Jesus Christ. It's by faith.
I hope you enjoyed today's message from God's Word from Free Food for the Soul. Free Food for the Soul is a ministry of the North Jersey United Pentecostal Church. God is real, He cares for you, and has a deeper walk for you in the Spirit. Feel free to be our guest this Sunday at the North Jersey United Pentecostal Church. We are located at 51 Center Avenue in Secaucus, New Jersey, one block behind Town Hall. Sunday Bible class starts at 12:30, and our worship celebration starts promptly at 1 o'clock. Our phone number is 201-832-1955. Our website is www.njupc.org. I trust that you have been both fed and blessed today from God's Word through Free Food for the Soul.